Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, "O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her, seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound. He thought she had been drinking. "Must you come here drunk?" he demanded. "Throw away your wine." "Oh, no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, for I've been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." "In that case," Eli said, "go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him." "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I asked the Lord for him." The next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord and to keep his vow. But Hannah did not go. She told her husband, "Wait until the boy is weaned. Then I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with the Lord permanently." "Whatever you think is best," Elkanah agreed. "Stay here for now, and may the Lord help you keep your promise." So she stayed home and nursed the boy until he was weaned. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. "Sir, do you remember me?" Hannah asked. "I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life." And they worshiped the Lord there. Reading verse 28 once again. "Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life." And they worshiped the Lord there. That was, again, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 to 28. Looking then in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other relatives. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere." "But why did you need to search?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, and his mother stored all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. Father, thank you once again for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that your word, all of the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, is, amongst other things, a book of prayer, a book whereby we're listening to you as well as have the opportunity to commune with you and draw closer to you as we listen to your wisdom, your grace, and your insight. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to spend as much time with you, and that you'll spend as much time with us as we will spend with you. Thank you for that privilege of being able to do that in your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for all those that are part of our listening family, and thank you for all those that we've lifted up in prayer today, and thank you for each and every one of us. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash a foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Father, thank you so much that you made our bodies, that you made your church, that you made us, our hearts and our beings, your new tabernacle. Father, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you so much for giving us wisdom. Thank you so much for your scriptures so that we can grow to learn to know you more. Father, I ask that we'd spend time today intently searching for your presence, searching for your face, searching for your truth through scriptures and through our prayers and interactions with you. Father, guide us today as we make ourselves available for your kingdom. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As we mentioned on the broadcast on yesterday, that we do have a number of Mother's Day related or Mother's Day theme related articles and discipleship tools that we have available. If you'd like to get copies of one or more of those, simply email us and let us know in particular which one you want by title. Or if you don't know the title and just want to get several of the Mother's Day related articles, simply email us. We'll be glad to share those with you. Today, we're specifically looking at the topic, Mothers, Children, and Prayer. Again, the topic, mothers, children, and prayer. And I want to share from one additional article. You know, the last passage we just read dealt with Jesus' interaction with his parents and especially with his mom, in particular there in Luke chapter 2. I want to read another passage that deals with the Lord Jesus interacting with his mom in another very powerful and a unique situation as well. This is John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. John 2, starting at verse 1. The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Standing nearby were 6 stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." When the jars had been filled, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though, of course, the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. "Then, when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best wine, until now." This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After the wedding, he went to Capernaum for a few days with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. Verses 1 through 12, John chapter 2. Lord, we thank you again, Father, for every passage in your word that teaches us insights about prayer. Thank you once again for the gift of mothers and the many ways that the world is a much more blessed place and a much more grace and mercy filled place because of the work you've called every Christian mother to do in the world. Thank you for the gift and the blessings that are brought to the world through mothers of the world. And Lord, thank you for the fact that every human being in this world was birthed through a mother. Lord, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace during this season. Help us to show genuine appreciation and love and grace towards all of our mothers, and help us to help them to feel special and to grow in their understanding of what a gift they really are to the world. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, we're looking today at the topic, mothers, children, and prayer. And, you know, amongst other things, it's the responsibility of parents, again, fathers as well as mothers, to teach our children how to pray. And we're wise to pray daily for our children. We're called to pray daily for our children, and wise to pray daily for them. And also, it's wise to allow your children to hear you call their name in prayer on a consistent basis. That sends wonderful messages to our children. So may you make it a goal. If you're not praying out loud with your children every day, today is a good day, mothers and fathers, to start the habit of praying daily with your children in your home and allowing them to hear you call their name as they pray to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, thank you for the privilege that we have of being able to teach our children to pray, and thank you for the privilege we have of being able to model a life and a lifestyle of prayer before them. Father, anoint each and every one of us afresh with the spirit of prayer more and more. And Father, we ask that you'd anoint our prayer lives. Lord, help us to be wise enough to pray for our prayer lives. Thank you for each and every one of our prayer lives, all those who've lifted up in prayer today, and all of those that are part of our listening family. Bless each and every one of our prayer lives indeed. Expand their territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon them and keep them from evil, that they may not cause pain, in Jesus' name. And help us to grow in our understanding of how important it is that we make time in our homes to pray with our families. We thank you and we praise you for that privilege and opportunity and responsibility. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're today looking at the topic, mothers, children, and prayer. We'll be right back.
We come with expectation, waiting presence. All we need is you. Waiting here for you, love, with our hands lifted high in praise. And it's you, Lord, we adore.
The music of Christy Knuckles with Waiting Here for You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic Mothers, Children, and Prayer. And we've shared a few passages that relate to prayer. And, you know, I want to remind you once again, keep in mind the entire Bible, all of God's written word, is a book of prayer amongst other things. Of course, the Word of God is many things. The Word of God is Jesus. The Word of God is an instruction manual for life. The Word of God is God's love letter to us as His children. And also God's Word is a book of prayer from Genesis to Revelation. So as you're reading and meditating on the Word of God, you're praying as well. You're communing with your Heavenly Father, and it's heavy on the listening, but you're stepping into the presence of God as you simply read and meditate on His precious and powerful Word. I want to share with you read a portion of the Scripture drawn from a book I've had the privilege of writing. The book is entitled The Intercession Chronicles. Should mention it's fiction, but it's fiction with a message and a mission behind it. It's a book to set a believer's prayer life on fire. Again, the title, The Intercession Chronicles. And fiction, of course, all the characters are fictional. I based them on real individuals, but also would mention too that, interesting too, I've used a number of miraculous answers to prayer put in a fictional form in the book. And interesting to me that sometimes, I remember one person in particular who said that the prayer answers don't seem realistic. Well, that's an interesting comment in view of the fact that all of them are based on real answers to prayer. Well, I'm going to share an excerpt from the book from starting at chapter 1. And I want to mention, if you'd like to get a copy of the book, I would encourage you to do that. And you can get it at the AFA resource, our resource bookstore. Go to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net to get a copy of the Intercession Chronicles. So again, just reading a passage, and I would mention one of the reasons why our hope is that it will be especially encouraging to mothers is because a major theme and part of the message of the book is that it's about a mother that prayed a lot for her children, especially for her oldest son. Now, I should mention that my goal is that this will be the first in a series of books that we're going to be writing that relate to the series called The Intercession Chronicles. But the goal is to teach believers how to pray. And I would mention at the back of the book, there is a prayer guide that I believe will be a great blessing to your prayer life as you learn to take time to use it on a daily basis. So again, reading from the Intercession Chronicles, chapter 1, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I, Elijah, the chronicling angel, would like to share a story that draws together a number of perspectives. The perspectives focus on and around the life of Jesse Lenore. And not only Jesse Lenore, but also the prayer and intercession that was invested in and over his life. Prayers and intercession prayed and sacrificially poured out largely by Jeannie Mae Lenore, Jesse's mother. Jesse's mother and Jesse himself and the prayers that they prayed. My goal in sharing this story is to help you better learn and comprehend the value and the powerful place prayer and intercession hold in the work of and the building of the kingdom of God and in the lives of believers. It is critical for believers to grasp this truth, that believers are called to live lives given to prayer. They are, in fact, called to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. The next subtitle, When Mama Prayed, as spoken from the words of young Jesse Lenore. I remember as a child that Mama was a woman who took prayer very, very seriously. It seemed to me that to Mama, spending time talking to the Lord was one of the most important responsibilities in the world. As best as I can remember, Mama got up early in the morning, every morning, got on her knees, and spent time talking with the Lord. Mama seemed to spend a long time every day having conversations with the Lord, thanking and praising Him, singing to Him, and sometimes laughing with Him. Seems she had a good time with the Lord every morning. Yep, each morning she'd get up, get down on her knees, and prop up next to her bed, and just spend time talking with Jesus. It seemed to me that the whole world stood still when Mama prayed. And not only the world, but heaven too. In my child's mind, I imagined hearing the Lord on His throne in heaven, saying to the angels and the seraphim and cherubim, "Y'all be still and hush now. My daughter, Jenny Mae, is praying, and I need to hear every word so I can answer her every prayer." Mama prayed for many different things, but I believe she probably prayed more for us, her 8 children, than anything else in the world. She prayed for me, Jesse the oldest, Eamon, Chris, Jean, Grace, Vicky, Earl, and Al. A blanket of prayer. When you were young and it was cold outside, with a blanket I covered you with care. Now that you are older and the world is much colder, I now cover you with a blanket of prayer. Author unknown. Then the next segment transfers you to heaven, where Isaac, the supervising angel, and his apprentice Daniel are congregated. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Again, Hebrews 1:14. Isaac stood next to his apprentice, Daniel, and gazed through the earth portal. Through the observation portal of earth, they could observe any scene on earth that they needed to see. The portal gave a very clear picture of young Jesse, a newborn baby boy, as he cried and wiggled in the arms of a doctor in the delivery room. Daniel, this little one is your new assignment. As of this day, he is your responsibility, Isaac stated very soberly. Now allow me to explain to you this truth. Your last assigned person, John Dunson, was a good man, and so you know he lived a long and quiet life. Yet the sad truth is, though John was a believer, he lived and grew up in a largely prayerless life and environment. His parents were not believers, and very few members of his family were. So John had very few people who ever prayed for him, and he himself didn't pray a whole lot. That is why, of course, you rarely had the opportunity to do many things for John. Praise God for his high school coach, Coach Rick Jackson, a strong disciple of the Lord, who prayed for him, shared the gospel with him, and led him to Christ. I sure wish John would have been around that coach a lot longer, but John only played football for that 1 year in high school. Glory be to the Lord, it was long enough for John to hear the gospel and come to know Christ. So consequently, John received very little discipleship in his life. That's so tragic because John had a great plan from the Lord for his whole life. He simply missed out on receiving most of that plan and living it out. Believers who seldom pray miss so much of the glorious life they could live if they would just spend time praying and communing with God the Father, listening to Him, and find out His plan for their lives. With this little baby boy, your journey with him will be extremely different. And this is the reason why. His mother, Jenny Mae Lenore, is a mighty prayer warrior. She lives on her knees. She's largely the reason that you're about to get super busy. Jenny Mae prayed fervently for this little baby boy before he was born, while he was in her womb, and when he was born. During his delivery, we had to do some heavy warfare for him because of an attack on him from the Dark Warriors. They blitzed by order of the devil himself. They tried to take little Jesse out before he got here. But again, Jenny Mae's prayers, along with some prayer warriors from her church, allowed us to use all the power needed to defeat the attacking forces. And as they prayed, we prevailed. See Exodus 17, verses 8 to 16. Prayers prayed by and for your assigned person is what will help keep you very, very busy. Yes, prayer and intercession will keep you on the go. There are other things that Jesse and or his mom will do that will affect your work. The words of faith that they speak, their attitude of faith, and their obedience to the Word of God, all of these and a few other things they will do will affect what you can and cannot do for them. Their faith and their prayers and prayer life and how they put these weapons to work affect you and what you will have and what will you not have the opportunity to do. Now, until Jesse grows and begins to mature, much depends on his mother's prayers. But nothing to be concerned about. Jenny Mae is going to pray. You can count on that. So be aware, you're going to stay busy, Daniel. And with that, Daniel rose up and glided swiftly to his destination, Earth. Again, that was an excerpt from the book, The Intercession Chronicles, a book I had the privilege of writing that's to teach believers insights about prayer. And again, at the back of the book, it does have a prayer guide that I would encourage you to, if you get the book, take the prayer guide and use it on a daily basis. Again, the title of the book, The Intercession Chronicles. If you'd like to get a copy, you can go to resources.afa.net, and I hope that you will take the time to do that. Lord, thank you once again for every mother listening and every believer listening. Anoint each and every one of our prayer lives with a fresh anointing. Empower us to be the praying people you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to take time now to share an article entitled The Praying Mother. Again, The Praying Mother. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 to 28. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 to 28. A faithful Christian mother will seek to carry her children in at least three places: in her womb, in her heart, and in her prayers. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we find a touching, moving, and very insightful story of a young wife that wanted to be a mother. She simply had a desire, a dream to be the mother of a little boy. Initially, she cried and fretted over being childless. Then she did something very, very wise. She took time to go sincerely to God in prayer, and she prayed for the desire of her heart. She let God know that if he would give her a son, she would dedicate his life back to him. That was a very wise thing to do. God heard her prayer, and he gave her that which she requested. He gave her a son. Hannah then kept her word. She dedicated her son to God. This short yet powerful story of a young wife and mother named Hannah has many life and Christian life lessons in it. One of the very important lessons is that there is great power in the prayers of a Christian mother and a parent, period, for and over her children. It's important for a Christian mother to pray for her children before they are conceived, while the child is in the womb, when the child is born, and when she or he is a toddler, and when the child is in elementary school, middle school, definitely in high school, and when he or she is in college and or beyond that age. Don't make the big mistake of thinking that your job is over when they graduate from high school or college or trade school. You're just getting started at that point. When is a mother's job praying for her children to be over? When one of you goes to heaven. Mothers, be mindful that the job of praying for your children is a lifelong responsibility. And of course, no one can pray for your children like you can. A mother's blanket of prayer. When you were young and it was cold outside, with a blanket, I covered you with care. Now that you are older and the world is much colder, I now cover you with a blanket of prayer. Author unknown. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic Mothers, Children, and Prayer. We'll be right back. Music of Covenant Church with My Heart Cries. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we've been looking at the topic Mothers, Children, and Prayer. And I'm going to take time now to read from an article written by Jackie Green and Lauren Green Metcalf McAfee. Again, those authors, Jackie Green and Lauren Green McAfee. The title of the article is Leaving a Legacy of Prayer: The Praying Example of Susanna Wesley. And lots of people know the name Susanna Wesley, and a lot of people don't. Susanna Wesley was the mother of John and Charles Wesley, two individuals the Lord used to help shape the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in some wonderful ways. And so again, the title of the article by Jackie Green and Lauren Green McAfee, the title of the article, Leaving a Legacy of Prayer: The Praying Example of Susanna Wesley. If a passing stranger walking through the rural village of Epworth, England, on any given day between 1700 and 1720 had peered through the window of the home of the rector of the local Anglican church, he might have caught sight of something quite strange. Depending on the time of day, this observer might have seen a woman sitting in a chair with her kitchen apron pulled up over her head while 10 children read, studied, or played all around her. Two of those 10 children would have been little boys, John and Charles, who would grow up to shape the course of Christian history and thus change the world. The woman under the apron would have been Susanna Wesley, who assumed this odd posture for 2 hours almost every day. In a moment, you will understand why. Susanna understood the dynamics of large families. Born the 25th of 25 children in 1669, Susanna Annesley grew up the daughter of a prominent, highly educated minister in cosmopolitan London. She had little formal education, but growing up in an academic household with so many older siblings left her well-read and well-rounded intellectually. She met Samuel Wesley, an aspiring Anglican minister, and married him in 1688 when she was 19 years old. Susanna's remaining 53 years were far from easy ones. They were characterized by loss, hardship, and struggle. Yet she became a woman of immense legacy, largely through the dual virtues of organization and prayer. Susanna delivered 19 children, but 9, including 2 sets of twins, died in infancy. Another was accidentally smothered in the night by a nurse as Susanna recovered from labor and delivery. Her husband, Samuel, did not succeed in his in his 39-year assignment as rector of the church at Epworth. An intellectual academic, he simply did not understand or identify with the rural villagers in his parish, nor did they care for him. When he involved himself from the pulpit in a highly divisive political matter inflaming the entire nation in that era, he earned the hatred of a vast segment of the population. On two occasions, the Wesley's parsonage burned down, most likely because of arson on the part of Epworth's embittered parishioners. Susanna and the children were seldom spared harassment and insults. Samuel was not good with money, and he once spent several months in debtor's prison. The parsonage came with a small farm, but Samuel was uninterested in and ill-suited for farm work, so this too was left for Susanna to manage. This was in addition to the huge task of homeschooling all of the children with their varying ages and gifts. For decades, Samuel expended all of his energies and most of the family's meager wealth working on an exegetical treatise on the book of Job. The sad irony is that while he was away for long periods of time studying and writing about Job's intense sufferings, his living, breathing wife was enduring real pain and hardship largely on her own. Susanna's household organizational skills are the stuff of legend. She grew from personal experience that quality one-on-one time with a parent is hard to come by in a family. She knew from personal experience that quality one-on-one time with a parent is hard to come by in a family with many children, yet powerfully important. So she set a rotating schedule through which each of her children spent an hour with her alone before bedtime on a designated night each week. What's more, she somehow found a way to manage the household and give her large brood of children a world-class education that included both classical and biblical learning. Her girls got the same rigorous education as her boys did, something virtually unheard of in that day. Traditionally, girls of that place and time were taught feminine skills such as needlework and music before undertaking the most basic education, such as learning to read. Susanna firmly believed that this was wrong-headed. Her girls were taught the same curriculum as her boys. Among the quote-unquote bylaws by which she ran her home school was this: that no girl be taught to work till she can read very well, and then she be kept to her work with the same application and for the same time that she was held to in reading. This rule also is much to be observed for the putting of children to learn sewing before they can read perfectly, is the very reason why so few women can read fit to be heard and never be well understood, as drawn from that reading. School hours were from 9 a.m. to noon, and then from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., 6 days a week. All but the smallest children completed their assigned chores promptly before the start of the school day. As in many one-room schoolhouses in generations past, older children helped teach the younger. No excuse for not praying. Susanna took her relationship to God as seriously as she did her duties as a wife and mother. Early in her life, she vowed that she would never spend more time in leisure entertainment than she did in prayer and Bible study. Even amid the most complex and busy years of her life as a mother, she still scheduled 2 hours each day for fellowship with God and time in His Word, and she adhered to that schedule faithfully. The challenge was finding a place of privacy in a house filled to overflowing with children. Mother Wesley's solution to this was to bring her Bible to her favorite chair and throw her long apron over her head, forming a sort of tent. This became something akin to the tent of meeting, the tabernacle in the days of Moses in the Old Testament. Every person in the household, from the smallest toddler to the oldest domestic helpers, knew well to respect this signal. When Susanna was under the apron, she was with God and was not to be disturbed except in the case of the direst emergency. There in the privacy of her little tent, Susanna interceded for her husband and children and plumbed the deep mysteries of God in the scriptures. This holy discipline equipped her with a thorough and profound knowledge of the Bible. And would mention that for time reasons, we'll end that. That was only a portion of the article. Again, the title of the article was Leaving a Legacy of Prayer, The Praying Example of Susanna Wesley. And it was authored by Jackie Green and Lauren Green McAfee. And I want to just say to all of our listeners, Susanna Wesley is a fascinating woman of God that served the Lord. And when you learn more of the details about her life, again, it's more to marvel at God's grace and how his grace worked mightily in and upon her life. Hope that you will take the time to learn more about the life and legacy of Susanna Wesley. But as I did mention that she's the mother of John Wesley and Charles Wesley, two men that God used to make a major impact on church history down through the years. And their legacy continues to touch the world. And so because their legacy continues to touch the world, Susanna's legacy does as well. Father, thank you once again for every single mother that's listening today. And thank you for all of our mothers in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world. Father, anoint each and every mother afresh with the spirit of prayer. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us more and more to be the praying individuals you'd have us to be. And Lord, move upon the heart of every mother listening to recognize that so much good in the world is accomplished through the prayer life of praying mothers and praying believers. Help us more and more to be wise enough to spend significant time in prayer, interceding not only for our own children, but interceding for the children of our communities, our state, our nation, our world. And more, help us, Lord, as the church, to recognize and appreciate the great work you've called every Christian mother to in the world. Thank you for that opportunity. And thank you again for the example of praying mothers like Susanna Wesley, praying mothers like Hannah in the Bible, praying mothers like Mary, the mother of Jesus, and other mothers as well. Lord, help every believer listening to seek to live to be a good role model for prayer life, whether you're a mother or anyone else. Help us to know, Lord, that as others learn of our prayer life and as we model a prayer life before them, that the world will be a better place and a more blessed place as a result. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let me mention once again to our listeners, if you'd like to get a copy of the article that we shared earlier, the title of the article that we shared earlier was The Praying Mother. And also, as I read an excerpt from the book, my book entitled The Intercession Chronicles, if you'd like to get a copy of The Intercession Chronicles, you can do that. Go to resources.afa.net to our resource bookstore here at AFA to get a copy of The Intercession Chronicles, or you can go to Amazon as well. Again, the title of the book, The Intercession Chronicles, and as I mentioned, the book is meant to help set your prayer life on fire, has some interesting accounts of answered prayer. Most all of them are based on actual events of answered prayer in miraculous ways, and would mention that there is a prayer guide at the back of the book. If you'd like to get the book again, please use the prayer guide. It'll bless you tremendously. And we have certainly many resources through simply emailing me, joseph@afr.net, here at American Family Radio. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we're wanting to connect with you. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We definitely would like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please do definitely get in touch with us. Again, joseph@afr.net. We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks again for listening. Again, today we're looking at the topic, Mothers, Children, and Prayer. If you'd like to get any of the resources that we shared about, email us and inquire, and we'll look forward to being in touch with you. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.